You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. I'm thinking about that. It's my tendency. I want to put everything to some degree, at least when I'm talking about it, into a defined what I would call this as a genre. And I was like, it's kind of in its way. I mean, it's not a supernatural horror movie, but it is.
It has some.
It has
elements.
Been infected with the DNA of science fiction.
This should have not been
over.
I
think it's straight up sci-fi, and then it's kind of prismatically horror.
Well, yeah, it's like metaphorical sci-fi.
I don't know. I don't think it's science fiction. There's no like.
Are you out of your mind?
There's no legitimate science fiction elements about this.
There was microscopes.
They said DNA.
There are scientists.
Said DNA.
There are. Air quotes, science.
There's cells.
But I mean, how do you define science fiction? Because I mean, it uses science to orient
its
world.
Definitely speculative.
It's speculative fiction.
Fiction.
It's very...
Well, let's not get too nitpicky about it. Well, that's space opera, not sci-fi. And this is the other thing.
Sure.
And here's five other subgenres. Who the fuck cares?
I mean, it really... Like I said, when I think supernatural horror, no, there's nothing supernatural. But in the terms of its horror, it's playing by supernatural horror rules because it's very kind of abstract. Anything could happen.
Yeah,
the rules
there's
are
a
unwritten.
Lot of,
kind
you
of
know,
abstract.
What is When is the next thing gonna? When's the next jump scare coming? Because there are a couple of good ones.
Yeah, but they're basing like all of that around an idea of science fiction, and in kind of a I say it's high concept with leaving everything up to the audience, you know, and that's gonna aggravate the fuck out of some people.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Did you come
already.
To see a story?
Yeah, I mean it is a story. It's just one of those that's meant to leave you with a lot.
Well,
to chew
yeah,
on.
And this is you know if you love Star Wars but you hated fucking Arrival, don't go see this fucking movie.
That's very true.
I love Charlie Sheen.
Not that.
I feel
Arrival.
Like this movie is trying to be Arrival and trying to be like any kind of Dennis Villeneuve script.
I mean, that's going to be the bar for, you know, really high-tone sci-fi for a while.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. I don't think there's anything. I mean, Ex Machina was before Arrival, and that also had a similar tone of sort of like, this is very pensive, thoughtful, kind a little bit scary science fiction.
And we're kind of in a golden age for that kind of offering right now, as far as we're getting some, you know, those three titles alone.
But when you mentioned Ex Machina versus Arrival, Ex Machina, in my opinion, also sort of copped out at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
And what I'm saying is...
All right, so the new, the guy who took over the costume of the spoiler from Martin after he retired.
I didn't say anything.
No, I know. I'm warning you.
Oh.
I'm giving you your warning. Yeah.
Spoiler alert, you're going
to
be disappointed.
When he starts talking about the ending of the film already and we haven't even gotten to the plot, I'm just setting out warning flares.
Okay.
I'm the guy at the airport with the mysterious lights.
It was the alien mushroom people all along.
Judge Cox, your warning is noted.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
You mean sustained?
Sustained.
Noted.
Okay.
Judge doesn't say. Judge says sustained. So,
Dr. Do you concur?
I concur. We can move on with this line of questions.
I'm sorry. All right.
Next.
So first off, there's a lot of us here. I'm Chris.
I'm Laura.
JC.
Miguel.
I'm Zach.
I'm the little lamb that cried down the lane.
I'm Elliot.
That's good enough. By the way, big hello to Miguel. This is his first highly suspect review with us, but you can hear him on Books and Beer with Zach.
He's
one of the three Books and Beer boys. He's like, you know what? Say Beer Boy.
So, looks like we got ourselves a reader.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What you reading for?
Yeah, words. You look at them letters.
You know it'll make you better than me.
Actually, it does.
It does, by definition.
I just hate when people go, you know I don't own a TV. Good for you.
Yeah. Aren't you special?
Who are those
they're just
people?
On their phone.
Do I
need
to know that?
Just say, people who read a lot, I feel like on some level, are intellectually superior to people who do prefer to watch TV and movies, except for when they're the sort of people who go, I don't even own a television.
Yeah,
in which case, all that goes out the window. anyway, sorry. A little bit of side note. We are, of course, reviewing Annihilation. I brought up Ex Machina because the director of this, regular director, Alex Garland, made that to great aplomb, great success. Although it certainly wasn't for everyone, and this I think even more so is his like sort of, oh, I can do what I want, okay then. And the studio kind of going like, well, it seems like this kind of smart sci-fi is big right now. Seems like films with almost entirely female-led casts are big right now. And it feels like one of those situations that's not uncommon where the studio goes like they did with the Mother. We don't understand this at all, but it has all these marks of things that seem to be doing well.
Our smart friends all tell us it's
completely. I'm surprised the studio backed this, actually.
It doesn't feel like the sort of film, well, 2-3 years ago, it wouldn't have been.
I mean, he had the muscle from Arrival, and I'll guarantee you, the instant they nailed down Natalie Portman, they were like, the studios were falling all over.
Yeah, well, I was confused going in, because I was actually talking about this with Laura as we were walking in, because I had heard a couple weeks ago that they were maybe going to pull this, so I was like, oh, that must mean it's not good. And then other people, my friends in New York and LA who saw it kind of seemed to really like it, so I was like, well, now I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I think it's one of those films that's definitely going to split audiences.
Yeah, it's going to be polarizing.
Yeah, it's...
There's no one's going to be, like, in the middle, oh, I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't think
that's going to be...
Except LA, apparently.
I'm sort of in the middle. Yeah.
there are going to be people that like good sci-fi, and then you dum-dums.
I take Zach's point, though. I do feel like this is really, it's more like a really smart horror film that is using sci-fi for the clothing it's wearing. Smart?
Yeah.
I do. I think it's extremely smart. Yeah. Well,
what is smart about
it? I mean, there's nothing in it that's dumb.
No, but
the only thing I had any problem with at all is that you guys do get that there's like the possibility of pretty much, I mean, after you've encountered a giant monster and then you're not constantly looking around with guns, at any point you put the guns down, I go, you're dumb.
Yeah.
There is definitely
but that's military, and they
sell it very early on that okay, we've sent military experts. Let's tell people what this is about before we get into that.
You're great at doing the plot summation.
Okay.
You do that, Bo. And it doesn't matter because if I start, he's going to cut me off and go anyway. So
I prefer to think of it as tag teaming, but insist,
okay.
There's a meteor, and it crashes into the Earth, and oh my god, all the things start kind of going haywire, and then we kind of flash to Natalie Portman, who is, she's an academic, her husband has, you know, seemingly has passed away, is out of the picture if nothing else for at least a year, and she's not taking it well, you know, she kind of blows off her friends to go paint her bedroom, and all of a sudden he shows up, but he's weird as goddamn fuck.
Oscar Isaac's
playing. Oscar Isaac playing her husband, and in the midst of her trying to figure out, where the fuck have you been for 12 months, my black ops military boyfriend / husband, he starts bleeding out, and she calls the ambulance, and then all of a sudden the men in black cut off the ambulance. She wakes up on the, you know, basically the event horizon of what has occurred since we saw the meteor hit the Earth, which is, you know, this big, shimmery...
Area X.
And, which is to say...
Not Area 10?
I do want to discuss deeper than that. What happens and what's going on inside there, but I want to save that to a point because it's really a point where like half the first act of this movie moving to that point of what's beyond the barrier is a huge tension point, and they don't spoil it in the trailers. I don't want to spoil it here.
So it's a great big shimmery thing. They've been studying for a while. They've sent teams of people in, military teams,
right.
You know, special ops guys, and with the exception of Oscar Isaacs, none have made it out.
Yeah, they can't even figure out.
Once they go in, they have no radio telemetry. They can't communicate. What have you?
Yeah, but presumably because no one has, they just have no clue what's happened to anyone who's gone in there. And to make things worse, it's growing and fast. So they're like, okay, obviously we're kind of at that point. We have no idea what this thing is or even like the slightest thing about it. The only thing we know so far is A, it's growing, which means it's dangerous, and B, one guy has come out, and we didn't see him come out. He just kind of appeared back at his house.
Oddly.
Yeah, so that's a strange thing. So you end up in a situation with Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, who, you know, it's nice to see her. It's so great she's her career.
This cast is Bob Diggity. They've got
Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson, Tuba Novotny are the team that they're like, okay, you're going in, and this is interspersed with flashbacks to, like, right from the beginning of the film of realizing...
The only way they could do this, I think.
Right. Realizing that Portman does make it out, and her sort of recalling the events of what happened.
Or does she?
You know, I don't get the whole, you're thinking it's super dumb, because like I said, outside
of the... I don't think it's super dumb. I just don't think... I think it's not particularly smart. There's a lot of...
I think it's not as smart as it thinks.
Yes, I completely...
I think everything Alex Garland's done is, like, something that's been done before and something that's been done better. Mm. And he just has his take on it, and it happens to be new. And people that love science fiction are like, oh, yes. It's like, well, go read a fucking book. There's, like, way better. I don't know. I don't know. Like,
You
people are impressed by Game of Thrones. Go read some Robert Jordan.
But here's the thing. I haven't read the book, so I can't speak to that source material. I would wonder if it depends on how you're measuring the goal they were trying to reach. I think we're arguing at cross purposes, because if you're talking about this as a hard, not even hard, but just as a logical sci-fi that fits within the confines of the world, that's one thing. But the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm looking at this as an emotional allegory for grief and depression, and how when you go through that, you're going to go through stages. And you're not going to come out the same end as you were. And there are things that I can't talk about to make my point, because it would spoil it.
I'll give you a chance here. Don't worry.
Yeah. That actually really reinforced that for both Oscar Isaac and for Portman. And I think if you look at it from that way, it's really smart. But the problem for me is, if you're going to tell a story in a movie like this, you need to go that extra, you know, 95% of something is pretty easy. That last 5% is the hard part. They stopped at that 95%. Whereas Arrival really justified everything within it, so it could be a sci-fi and an emotional allegory. But this bifurcates.
I don't think that, like, you know, they're only similar in a sense of tone. Arrival is kind of very defined.
You're completely right. What I'm saying is they do that base level so great that it reinforces the message they're trying to say.
Yeah.
This. They don't do that base level great, so that foundation's not there, so that when I'm looking at the emotional message, I'm having to ignore some of the stuff that they don't do so well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's why I'm sort of in the middle of it, because I'm sort of giving them a curve for being like, man, I love what you were trying to do, but I don't think you had the talent to do it.
I don't know about the message part of the film, because I'm still a little, like, trying to piece together what that feels, that there is a lot of subtext, but... I was too with the tension of the film to even really bother thinking about it.
Well, I was really cold, so that took me out. The theory was really cold, so that took me out of the tension, except for one scene that is fucking terrifying.
Like I said, the only issue I really had with it was that I felt like the decisions you make when you're terrified for your life in that given situation are not things people would do, but not to a completely egregious level. Just at points you're like, come on, guys, you can do better than that. I don't know. I mean, all right, you know what? Fuck it. Let's give final reviews, and then we can talk about spoilers, because it's almost impossible to discuss this movie without being able to say what it's about.
Yeah.
Laura, I wonder what your final thoughts without spoilers. Just so you can give your number rating. I'll let you start with the spoilers.
Since you got stuff.
Yeah, great. Yeah, so I'm still trying to formulate my... I don't know where I should speak. Where am I going? I'm trying to formulate my thoughts on this art film that I just watched. I'm going to call it an art film. It's a speculative art, science-y, pseudo-horror film.
See, we're also trying to tag it. What do we hashtag it as? I don't know.
And the credits were beautiful. And I'm going to...
You're just skipping to the credits.
They were amazing to look at. Like, trippy. And I enjoyed the lighting and cinematography greatly. And
it feels like you're damning it with faint praise right now.
I, like, can't really talk about it other than to say that I enjoyed it. It's not what I thought it was at all. And I don't even know what to give it, because I haven't formulated my thoughts on it.
So the arbitrary review means it doesn't even necessarily have to be a number. You can give it like, I give it a pi numeral out of lemon.
Just like
I've had people give really weird stuff like that. I give it
like okay. You can choose anything. I give this 5 cats out of 10.
I give it a
you know, it can be anything you want. This generally something that relates to the movie.
I'm gonna give this a
giant amoeba splitting in 17.
No, I'm just gonna give it a shimmery pink out of green.
There you go.
Okay.
JC?
Well yeah, like I said, I didn't know what to expect, and so I'd seen some of the previews, and so I basically, sci-fi horror is kind of the only thing I really expected, and it delivered that in some ways. Elliot lightly mentioned one spectacularly terrifying scene. I'm not the sort of horror movie fan that does like best horror movie moments of the year at the end of the year, but if I were to do that, one scene in particular might make that because it was visually terrifying and audibly terrifying. So that was really well done. So there are well done moments in this. Natalie Portman does really well. I feel like Tessa Thompson didn't have enough to do, and that just kind of hurts my feelings. I don't know if that's a fault of the movie, really. But yeah, overall, I would probably give it 6 out of 10 human shaped plant people.
Nice,
maybe.
Okay, how about you, Miguel?
As we discussed on Books and Beers, I'm not the biggest sci-fi guy. So on a surface level, I can appreciate this film. I'm more of a horror guy, and I'm more of a horror guy. So definitely, the scenes that we've all been talking about are great, and I loved it. So I would give it probably 6 out of 10 mutant bears.
Okay, Zach.
Well,
settle in, folks. Well,
no, I'm agreeing with pretty much. What, now, Elliot, like, you make a really good point about the allegory. I do dig the allegory. I get that. I think some of the execution is what I'm having a problem with. Actually, not the biggest fan of the cinematography or the directing. I think that we've seen much better science fiction this year, or into last year. So, I didn't like the book. I liked the movie actually a little bit more than the book because the movie actually offers answers. Like, I felt like this was actually quite well explained at the end, like what is actually happening in the Zone X. Yeah, in the book, well, you have no idea.
I definitely felt like it came to a point where you at least had like two different possible answers as to what was happening.
No. Well, see, the book is there's the psychologist and they're. And there's, like, hypnotism. And so there's a bunch of, like, things that people are seeing that aren't there. So then there's another element.
Oh, wow.
So it's basically...
Well, that unnecessarily confuses
them. Yeah.
That would have been very interesting.
Yeah, so I'm glad that
and one of the people who goes in is David Copperfield.
So I'm glad
and it comes with a packet of mescaline.
Just to go in, you've got to be on acid.
And the climax was... I thought it was visually pretty cool. I will give it, I will also give it 6 out of 10, rejected Denis Villeneuve scripts. I like this. I'm a
fan of all different genres of speculative fiction, and, it's nice to see stuff that isn't, you know, just... straight up space opera or, you know, robots or AI stuff. This was, you know, kind of going out on its own area. It does feel familiar for the director. Like I said, obviously two different movies, but there's some tonalities that it shares with Arrival that I enjoyed quite a bit. I did like the look of this quite a bit. And I thought the team was great as far as Portman. I always love seeing Jennifer Jason Leigh. You know, thank you, Quentin Tarantino, for bringing her back into the scene.
Career, yep.
I absolutely agree that the Tessa Thompson should have been given much more to do in this.
Because she's amazing.
And probably Gina Rodriguez a little bit less. Because she sometimes... Got on my nerves a little, but to her credit, I think that character is supposed to do that.
Agreed.
You know, But yeah, I would also agree with Elliot that I think this movie stands on its legs very well. Towards the end, we do get into a bit of what I will refer to as 2001: A Space Odyssey malarkey. But by and large, it stands on its legs. It keeps its promises. It just doesn't go that extra distance to become something really spectacular. But I still found it highly watchable. You know, it'll definitely go in my, you know, quirky sci-fi movie library. And I would give it... I would give it 7.5 feet of kaleidoscopic intestine.
Elliot?
Well, first thing I want to say, I'm happy to know what Jane Foster's been up to. That was a big hanging thing off of Thor Ragnarok, so I'm happy about that. You know, thinking about this movie, I'm probably going to be digesting this movie for the next few days. The problem I see, like, I like a lot of what they're trying to do, and I think it's really smart in some areas. But my problem is it sort of pretends to swing for the fences. Like, it swings, but it doesn't go all the way through the swing. So it sort of cheaps out when you really would need to do the work to make it a classic. Like, if you look at Get Out has a message to say, but if you look at the underlying bit of it, it's just a great horror movie. And if you're going to make a message, your technical part of putting the story together has to be perfect so that people can actually see the message. If your message is obscured by just bad technicality, I can give you points for your message, but it still gets lost. I'm probably going to see this movie again just to digest it more, but I'm going to give it 7 fractals out of 10.
You know, I think I clearly liked it better than everybody else in the room. Maybe it's because I am such a fucking horror buff, and this is something we rarely get in horror. Mm. It's psychedelic space smart horror. It really is. It's much more a horror movie than it is a science fiction movie to me. Like I said, yeah. it's a supernatural horror movie wearing the clothing of a science fiction film, which is fine. I have no wearing the skin.
Yeah, just wearing the cut DNA. Off or something,
the DNA.
Do
which
I
is
look
fine.
Pretty?
I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. I think it's only confusing going into it to some people what to expect to some degree, and this may not be your type of movie when you think it's going to be. Yeah. And I could totally see that being a problem. For me, this is exactly the sort of thing I really enjoy. I think it is very smart, but I think it's smart in the way that it's not smart in a science fiction. We want to go through all the details of how everything works the way that Arrival was. It's not that kind of science fiction. Everything works in a science level, and that's sort of like what happens when mankind meets something. We just don't have the faintest fucking clue how it's even operating. And it puts its things together in a science way, in a way that's like just enough where you're like, okay, this is plausible. We just don't, even then they're like, we have no fucking clue what's happening because this is alien stuff. But I think in terms of its creativity and the things it's doing, especially some of the ways that it's evolving, if you will, some of the elements of the story, aww, I think is incredibly smart and well thought out and just surprising over and over again, where I'm like, wow, I'm just so pleased with what just happened type of things. I'm like, I would never have thought to build this movie's weird kind of world building to do it in the way that they did. I also like movies that kind of leave you with a lot to chew on at the end, especially in a very creepy sort of like, it's funny how like the movie is like constantly has like section titles, but it's not till the very end that it's like the title of the movie, which is really, really perfectly placed with what happens in the last couple seconds to define what happens next. Yeah. In Annihilation 2, The Annihilating.
There may not even be a 2.
Yeah, there's probably one. This isn't the kind of movie you make a sequel to, be fair, anyway. I thoroughly enjoyed this, although, once again, I felt like some of the military stuff could have been handled a little bit better. They should have. It felt like they never called in someone who was in the military to consult.
Hey, she never had her finger in the trigger guard, which is, like, actually a gun thing. Like, yeah, you don't ever put your finger in the trigger guard unless you're pulling the trigger, and you see that in movies all the time.
That drives me crazy.
So I was noticing that, I was like, hey, maybe Natalie Portman actually knows about gun safety.
I felt like Portman got training.
Yeah.
There's a scene where she does a thing that's like, whoa, Portman's a fucking badass. Yeah, but and that is totally like, that is something that feels like it would have come out of someone who's like, yes, if you've been in the military for a while, this is what you would actually do and the way you would behave. Felt like nobody who wrote the script got any consulted with any military folks. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I give it an 8.5 out of 10 really plaintively crying bears.
Yeah, I don't need to sleep again.
All right, so with that, on to full spoilers. I promised Laura could have the first word.
Okay, yeah, like the military stuff and the science stuff is so fucking dumb. I can't even handle it. That being said, I really enjoyed how pretty it was. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be a horror movie, and I'm not a horror person at all. And I was like, oh, I'm watching an art film. I'm watching The Fountain on Acid. I'm fine now.
No, The Fountain on Acid?
You saw a much different version of The Fountain than I did.
Oh,
you would have to extract your brain's natural hallucinogens to get this version of The Fountain.
That's like saying The Tree of Life on Coke.
Yeah, so it was like, it just reminded me of The Fountain, only like really with a different color scheme. A lot prettier, but I don't know. Anyhow. Had elements. I'm crazy. It's fine.
Well, JC. Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I could tell you what movie it reminded me of. And,
yes.
And I feel like it might cheapen the movie for anybody who did like it. But
this is the spoiler part, so we're going to tell you.
So when we were hashing out the plot, the one thing we didn't talk about was how this sort of makes animals evolve in a different way. But if elements of the plot, meteorite crashing, military being involved, only a specific zone, reminds you of another movie, it's because it reminds you of the movie Evolution.
Yes!
Starring David Duchovny and Orlando Jones.
Because you hopefully didn't see that.
Yeah, hopefully you never suffered through that piece of shit.
It is straight up Evolution, like, beat for beat.
Really? I've never seen that movie.
It was even to the point in the movie where I was thinking, this movie has everything Evolution had except for a no-nose monkey, and then bam, a no-nose bear.
And then at the end, dude, to kill the monster, in the end of Evolution, they found on the periodic table, like, here's the element that we can't handle, so we're going to go down 3-1 on the periodic table. Here's that element. And what kills the alien at the end? A phosphorus grenade. It's like, down to the... So that's why I was asking Zach. I'm like, when was this book written? Because I think somebody watched it.
You even made mention of some of like movies like this have been done before and they've been done better. I was like, well, maybe not better.
Yeah.
But they've definitely been done before.
I think he was watching a marathon on TBS.
In the book, it's not about like mimicry or DNA or anything like that.
Okay,
it's just like, what the fuck is happening?
So even more like Evolution.
There's no explanation for any of the weird imagery.
Interesting. Well, they leave it up to you. Yeah. They leave a lot up to the imagination in this film.
I think it's, they define it. It's like it mimics life. It's like a life form that changes its DNA.
It's cancerous.
It literally mimics.
Yeah.
The movie keeps drawing the connection to cancer.
It's just from cancer. That's all it is.
But like at the same time, it's also created a super sped up field.
It is, to be fair, a super space annihilation cancer. The stakes are a little higher than you have leukemia.
I get the impression at the very end that essentially this is the science wave of an attempt to wipe out all life on the planet and take it over to terraform the planet, if you will.
That's what
I
was thinking.
And that's to the point where these people who probably aren't human anymore, like, are sort of like, okay, we have all the memories of being people, but we're also going to be the beginning of the next step of what happens
after.
Body
snatchers.
And like, and even the thing that happens to the alien is like, it doesn't matter because it already got what it needed for the next step. And part of that is to make people think, hey, the danger's over.
Yeah.
But that's why you put those two in the ground.
And to be honest, they probably would have been shot in very short
or an alien culture put all their space cancer onto a comet, blew it off into space. We're like, well, I'm glad we got rid of all that space cancer.
It's
just Galactus popping a pimple. It's like, that's great.
It is the acne cosmic.
I don't remember the movie's name. Gary Sinise was in it, but it was basically like
Mission to Mars.
I don't remember. Maybe it was, but they are all they. Yeah, I'll have to look it up. I cannot remember, but this felt like that.
Yeah, this felt to me like an amalgamation of like The Thing and what you said, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and also
a little bit of Under the Skin,
The Mist.
Yeah,
a little bit
of
Prometheus.
It's like they took a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
like,
a little
let's
bit
put
of
this in, added a horror element, which I
like. Yeah, it, it did have people making stupid decisions, so
for me,
he just does shit that people have done before.
I think I've read
that's how I feel.
I think you're right, but like, it's like you talk about the horror element. It's just that it's an element.
Yeah.
It's
like if he would just do that the whole way.
See, I don't agree. I think it is a horror film.
But it's not based in horror.
It's like it's a sci-fi film. I think it's taking some sci-fi tropes, but in terms of in terms of the beats it's hitting, it's a horror movie. It's a space horror film.
It has aliens in it. Shut up.
I don't think it's a space horror film. Well, maybe.
I mean, that's something we can definitely debate over. I don't know if one of us can ever be declared right. Because it's
absolutely they can't.
I'm always right.
And it's like, Elliot, you're a lawyer. Involved. You know one of us can be right.
No, that's not. No.
Right. I'm suing you until all you declare that I'm right.
No, I'm just saying that. There's a lot. One of the marks of at least may not be a good piece of art, but a piece of art is you can view it different ways.
Yeah.
And if you want to view it as a horror movie, if you want to view it as a dumb sci-fi where you like the horror elements but you think it's not that good, if you want to view it as a mishmash of things people have done better before,
yeah.
I think everybody's right. Like, but just for me, things. Like, I have gone through grief. I mean, everybody has, but recently, and you know, I've gone through depression at one point. And I was watching it as an allegory because the thing about, they had this one line in the movie where they're on the boat and I forgot the name of the character, but she says to Natalie Portman, you know, when the person died, it was like two people died because you don't come back the same. And that's the only thing, that's the only thing that going through it clued me into it.
Tuba Novotny,
yeah, by the way. That this is about going through sadness and you come out different. And the reason I think that that's reinforced because there's a part during the movie where you reveal that Natalie Portman had an affair with one of her colleagues. So he also goes through some kind of grief and comes out different. And so that's where I get this from.
I can't be the only person right now feels like we're in like some sort of therapy group and he's like the head. Is any of this real? Are we in a psychiatric institute? Did Buffy happen at all? Or was that just a dream?
Sorry. No, I get the grief thing. And
oh my God, it's season 2 of Legion.
I don't understand why they needed to include that part in this.
That's why I think it fits.
The boat?
No,
the affair.
Yeah, the affair. Like, what?
Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to me.
You could show some naked Natalie Portman back. That's why.
George Lucas is like, damn it, I almost got there.
No allegory otherwise? Yeah. Then it makes it less smart, I feel.
Yeah, I don't know.
Damn. Wow. No sex makes it less smart. No sex can make it
no,
less
because
smart.
She's grieving because she
fucked it up.
Yeah.
She's the reason that affair is kind of set up as the reason that Oscar Isaac was like, yeah, I'll go on your dangerous suicidal fucking mission.
I mean, it shows more of her motivation for why she would choose to go in as well. Because they keep saying, which I don't think that makes it any less.
To me, that's the only reason this movie is smart.
But again, it just to reinforce, I love that this is this movie that we can discuss at this level and just be like, have all these different opinions. Like, I hate movies where it's like, God, that was stupid as shit. And you walk out and like everybody's like, yeah, that was dumb.
Like the Cloverfield Paradox.
Yes.
The Snowman.
Fuck that movie.
The Snowman.
Like the Snowman.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. The less said about the Snowman, the better. I might even come back to the Cloverfield Paradox at some point in the future just for shits and grins.
No, but that's actually
do like a commentary or something. But the Snowman.
Oh God, you're going to make me watch it already. Same way you made me watch every other piece of bullshit I managed to miss.
But here's the thing. I think you're comparing it to Cloverfield Paradox. That's a movie that desperately wants to be smart and is dumb.
I don't know if it even does desperately want to be smart. I think it doesn't. Well, that's reviewing a different movie, but
sorry.
I think it doesn't understand what smart viewers want from a movie. As long as we pretend like we're smart, it'll be fine.
Yeah, put something about the Higgs-Boson collider.
We just won't look into what it actually means or does or how that would work.
So in terms of that, this movie nailed it because everybody gets something different out of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think it stuck the landing, but I think that's a mark of a real accomplishment that you get something different out of it. You got seven people that got seven different things out of it.
You didn't like the thriller ending? You know, with the look over the shoulder and
just hear Vincent Price.
Whoa.
I'm all for the thriller ending and everything.
I think every movie needs to have a thriller.
Would be a little better with the thriller ending. I mean, can you imagine?
Well, you should definitely, all movies should have an outro by Vincent Price.
I mean, this is definitely... Yeah,
which should freeze frame with Vincent Price laughing. Somebody make us a master cut of the end of every movie ending that way. I want to see that.
Honestly, like, thinking about this movie, it's almost like it would be really... If this was a Black Mirror episode, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But it's a full-length movie.
Yeah.
And you just sort of expect better if you're going to bill me as we're smart sci-fi, smart horror.
Man, I wish
the pacing
smart,
is off.
Dumb sci-fi, smart horror.
I still
you guys are some smart motherfuckers. This is so dumb.
I know. I still haven't heard you guys tell us what was stupid about the science fiction. I haven't heard anyone say it.
Like, I don't know what's smart about this.
I
said, is it smart?
The burden of proof is on you because you keep saying it's really stupid sci-fi.
Well, I'm not saying it's really stupid. I think it's just not smart.
I'll say it. I don't think stupid may be a strong word, but it definitely doesn't explain at all. There's a part where it goes, well, everything in this annihilation wave, sorry, I'm reading comics lately, so that's in my head. Everything's annihilation zone has been refracted. And in the beginning of the movie, they talk about cell division, and there could have been at least a hand-wavy line saying, oh, this is a different form of life, and it's superseding on top of ours, or something like that. And I intimated that on when I was watching it. I was like, oh, maybe it's combining life on top of it. And they sort of hinted it. But I would like just a little bit more of explanation. But that's me nitpicking.
I still don't understand that, because I don't think it's a different form of life. I think it's basically throwing in like a sort of, if you will, a sort of time speed up zone.
See, I think it was both.
In the sense of like how fast our bodies mutate and organic things mutate, and for the purposes of just sheerly studying human organism extremely, or organisms on Earth extremely quickly.
No, I think it was definitely a time thing. Like, I watched too much Stargate, so time dilation. But it was that, to me, joined with it's not a carbon-based life form. It's not any life form we could ever conceive of.
What's the chevron pattern you have to get to this version of
there are seven. And eight to go to a different galaxy.
I know.
I think for me, I was going to say, it seemed like everybody, when for example, when Natalie Portman's character, when she was told about, was it The Shimmering, or what's it called?
The Shimmer.
Area X.
Yeah, she's just like, oh yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, that's the real problem, is that the Earth is slowly being taken over by a giant gay disco.
Somebody call Mike Pence.
Have you been to Shimmer, girls? It's awesome.
You didn't tell me we were going to get political, so I'll... No, but... So
Mother.
So it just seems like she just bought it. And without anybody trying to really explain it to her. So maybe that's where you're saying it's not very smart, because they don't really...
There's no dialogue between any of the characters that matters at all. That's a problem for me. Like, lady, you know more. You know, lady in charge, you're the psychologist.
Oh, her
what's
acting
going
was terrible.
On?
Like, who? Psychologist, the
Jennifer
leader.
Jennifer Jason Leigh?
She was terrible.
Get
just, like,
the fuck out of here.
She was preoccupied with her cancer, so...
Yeah, I would be preoccupied too with the. I would be preoccupied.
And then
too.
they were like, "Hey, roll something in your fingers."
Yeah. In every scene, if Jennifer Jason Leigh came in here and slapped the dog shit out of you, you better get down on your knees. And that's the best fucking slap I've ever seen.
Why does he have dog shit in him?
Well, Zach, is it that you love sci-fi, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I love all speculative stuff.
No, but so you love it. So-
He won't even grant you that.
It's hard to talk to you when you're up on that hill you plan on dying on.
I've been published.
I'm trying to get you off of that hill right now.
So
it's like, I'm trying to help you. What I'm saying is, you love it so much. It's something I noticed for myself in animation. Like, I hate, like, I won't go see Ferdinand or Boss Baby because I love animation and I hate when people talk down to it. It couldn't be that you love sci-fi so much you notice the flaws more than others.
For sure. I mean, I was pissed that this book was...
Did you say case closed in your book?
No, I agree. I mean, for
Columbo,
sure, it's harder for me, like, being in fandom, like, and seeing this win a Nebula and a Shirley Jackson Award. It's just kind of like, there's better shit out there.
And I don't blame you. Because you're exposed to it.
Yeah, but to put the critical acclaim that this book has received, I mean, it's got, like, people don't like this book. Like, it's got, like, a 3-star review on Goodreads for a good reason. But it's very critically acclaimed. I just don't agree.
And, you know, critics and general audiences don't always see eye to eye on stuff. And sometimes I agree with the critics more, and sometimes I agree with the audiences more. Yeah. I'm going to go with the critics.
You're all right.
I'm sure the actual Shirley Jackson would have hated it, and the actual Nebula.
Mr. Nebula.
It's what Nebula should, but,
for me, it just depends if my Marvel check bounced or not.
I mean, it's creative and, you know, pretty in places. The set design's great. It's pretty.
It's super pretty.
You got to try to figure it out. It makes you think, like, what the fuck's going on?
I want this writer, and he writing directed too.
That's what I feel.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I want him to commit to this
I
more.
I really like the credits.
I want him to stretch more. Like, it feels like he's not giving us his all. It feels like a B+ from a guy who knows he could get an A if he tried hard.
I think he, like I said, once again, we keep trying to think of this as science fiction in a hard sci-fi sort of sense, and I don't think it's that kind of movie.
It's a really good B movie.
I think they're marketing this very wrong.
They are marketing it. I didn't think it was going to be anything like this from the trailers.
The weird thing is, I see most trailers. I don't think I ever saw the trailer for this one.
I did.
And I think it may be one of those weird weeks I took off from Breakfast Pub and just missed it.
That's kind of why I was surprised as you were relaying the plot. I was like, because the evolving animals was kind of a big part of the trailer too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I was surprised you didn't mention that as you were going through the plot.
Though, if you're the sort of person who doesn't see trailers, I'd be glad I didn't know that ahead of time. You know?
Yeah, I think people should not see the trailer.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, fucking, like, Mimic Bear, that was, like, one of the most awesome horror movies I've
ever seen. It was amazing.
That bear was good.
How it, like, ate her face, and you could see her bottom jaw and the teeth. Oh, I love
that. That was one of the scariest scenes I think we're going to see this year.
People are going to be copying off of it for the next 10 years. Just the idea of that thing that's about to eat you, crying.
Well, it reminded me of Alien, when the face comes out.
That's one of the things. Like, the horror elements I thought worked so well, like, from the alligator thing where you're like, okay, it's far out, so it hasn't super evolved yet. It's bigger, it's got a tougher hide, and it's starting to evolve like shark-like things in its mouth, right?
Yeah.
Which all things you're like, okay, I could see over time if it's dealing with even bigger predators,
like fucking badass crazy bears,
it might evolve like these things. And then the deeper you get in, the fucking wackier and more dangerous everything gets. And like, Super Mimic Bear is like, that is not a bear you would
be. You guys are acting like you've never tied up three people and released a bear into the room.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't done that?
But it's not that kind of
just like a Kodiak.
Yeah, right?
You talk about the gator. For me, just as somebody from Louisiana, I was like, you wouldn't be getting away from that gator.
No.
Right? Like, you'd be dead. Once it gets you in the water, that's it.
All that shark DNA was slowing it down.
What do you mean you're getting away?
Honestly, that was the only moment in the whole film I went, what the fuck? After that, they were like, let's take boats.
You see the boat, and they're like, oh, they're probably going to take those boats. And then when the alien comes out, you're like, yeah, fuck that boat.
Let's go the long way.
You guys like hiking? I like hiking. I think it's hike fucking o'clock.
Yeah. It's like, my favorite movie is Lord of the Rings. So guess what we're about to go do?
That's why you don't ride the fucking eagles, because they try to eat you.
Like, Tessa Thompson should have been like, I think I'm going to head out. I'm gonna turn around.
I mean,
I'm going now.
I'm gonna leave.
It's funny because the movie answers one of the questions for me that I was asking at that point. It's like, guys, send somebody out because you already have a huge amount of data. Yes. Even if you don't have the answers, that's more than they had. Yeah. Send half the team back. And then when she points out, well, actually, it would be longer to go back than just to go through. I was like, okay, that's a fair point. Yeah. It's like, you actually answered that. I was like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Fair enough.
Yeah, but then it's like, oh yeah, let's go up in the watchtower and then send people down.
Maybe Bob Dylan will be up there.
Like, maybe what?
Ron Hubbard.
Let's not stay in the perch, like, where there's safety. Let's go down into the grass.
Yeah, let's hang out.
No, that's strong with the dark side of the force.
Oh my God.
it's filled with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Let's go into the literal asshole of the world. Nothing bad could happen here.
I mean,
that was definitely one point when she first started going in. You're just like, no, that's a bad idea.
Having already kind of seen the devil's thing, I was like waiting for like the devil of her to appear, and then she cuts its head off and it rolls around, and it's like, then she sees it's her face, and she's like, oh, okay, this all makes sense now.
It's the tree that Yoda warned about.
Just throw the phosphorus grenade in.
Yeah, you think that would have been my first thing? It's like, I'm gonna burn this sucker out before I go down there.
Yeah,
but then she would would have just killed Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Who gives a shit? She had cancer anyway.
Well, that's true. She wouldn't have.
And she's in a cancerous environment. She's going to die faster.
You don't go inside the big giant bleached asshole.
I mean, I guess I'm just cold.
Tell Kanye that.
Unless you're doing porn. In which case, hell yeah.
But that's another movie.
That's a whole other series of movies and channels on the internet.
Are we not going to discuss the interpretive dance at the end there, where she just like doing this thing?
Yeah, I mean, what's that thing? It was like felt like an alien organism that was learning.
I think that fell firmly under 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah, we needed a song and dance.
It actually made more sense to me than the end of 2001. I still will go back and go, I still don't understand why everybody loves this movie, but okay.
Because
and
it's good. All right.
It's got an intermission.
Yeah, it does. And
you can have a drink.
You know, more movies should have an intermission.
No, they shouldn't. God, I hated that part of Hateful Eight. It's like
they were in the middle.
I loved it.
Of which?
Hateful Eight. It's not the same if it doesn't play. Let's all go to the lobby. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, all right. Let's wrap this up. Anybody have anything last things to say about Annihilation?
I just think it's
I think people are going to find it unbearable.
Ah, I see what you did there. Even though there is a bear, so it's more bearable.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's worth seeing because seven people got seven different things from it.
Yeah.
So why don't you go see it and see what you get from it?
Yeah, that's true.
No one gave it a negative rating. Like, a 6 out of 10 is still positive. That's a 3-star.
Tell that to my
student. I'm just saying.
Tell them my 10th grade geometry teacher.
That's a D in college, and dad passes the
class. Well, it's perfectly adequate for a student film.
I will take a gentleman's D, sir.
Just don't think you're getting, like, Blade Runner.
As a C&D college graduate, I will, yeah, that's positive.
C's get degrees.
C's do get degrees, sir.
People should go see it and see.
I have a feeling we're going to have the same sort of heated anger from people who both love it and don't understand why other people don't, and people who hate it and don't understand why people love it that we saw with Mother, where people are going to come out of it going, like, either feeling one way or the other and getting really irate about their
opinion. And no one's going to know what the fuck happened.
So, once again, people who know about film and a bunch of dum-dums.
No, but not necessarily, because I know a lot of really, really smart people who hated Mother, thought it was terrible. So I don't know what to tell you. All I'm saying is that, like, ultimately, it's just a movie. People, calm the fuck down.
But
watch something else.
But one thing before we end, because this argument sometimes I want to understand more. Isn't the point of film to express yourself, but also to express yourself that's accessible to the audience you're presenting it to?
Yes, doctor.
So if you're saying that if you're not able to express your idea well enough, aren't you failing at a certain point?
No. Not at all, because it depends on who you're talking to. Like I said, I felt like
it depends on who it's for. Okay, I get that.
There are lots of people who don't get Picasso, but they're idiots.
I'm really glad that.
Okay, that makes sense.
I'm really glad that not all art is for everyone.
That's true.
Really glad, because otherwise it would all be kind of mundane and the same.
It would be very nice if we could keep all the good stuff in an ivory tower where the peasants.
Where only Bo can look.
Exactly.
It was pretty phenomenal that this kind of arty film, I mean, because it's a fucking art film, I mean, at the above all, I think. And it's really astonishing that I think that they did this, because studios don't really get behind films like this.
Which is why you should all go see it, regardless of what you think you may think of it, so we can get more films that the studios take chances on.
Because it is risky. And plus, it's a super risk.
It's a nice palate cleanser right now, because only things really out right now, Black Panther's awesome, don't get me wrong, but like you have a lot of the Oscar movies, but it's just different.
Yeah.
So you're getting something just wildly different at a part of the year where you usually don't get something that's different.
Yeah. Sometimes you do get things that are like those movies. The studio just has no fucking clue who's going to like it.
Like Hercules.
Not, you know? But you know what I mean? But there's good stuff that comes out this time of year. They're like, I think Cloverfield was like a February release.
I love it.
It was like the studio's like, we don't know if people are going to like this or not.
Yeah.
So we'll put it out in this dead zone where at least it doesn't have to fight against an established brand.
Yeah.
Are you tired of the post? Go see Annihilation.
Oscar bait the movie.
There you go.